Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading from Dr. Langer's chapter on counterpublics in the argument culture. Do we ever live in an argument culture? Let me read this to you. Two levels that have to do with how we dialogue with people that I really want to grab hold of. Apostle Paul gave a command in Ephesians 4:15, and that command was to speak the truth in love. And one of the things that Dr. Langer points out in his book is that when he talks about, when Paul talks about speaking the truth, he's focusing on content. But when he says, make sure that you also speak it in love, he's focusing on relationship. And Dr. Langer, I'm thinking that there are a lot of people who are probably thinking or maybe wondering at the very least, okay, I hear you loud and clear, but this has been going on so long and the vitriol is becoming so much more pronounced. I don't know if there's reason to even hope that the dialogue will ever improve and that we will ever get to the point where we are truly talking with each other instead of past or at each other.
Yeah, so I think that is one of the things that we talk about a lot in the book is the importance of the relational side of communication. In fact, oftentimes that's more important than the content in terms of what the other person actually receives is, you know, what kind of character do you exhibit? What kind of ethos do you have? Do you understand and appreciate the other person's viewpoint? And I tell you what, the argument culture on the one hand is a, you know, a terrible kind of a context in which to have a conversation. People get jaded. They get tired of it. I have a hard time listening to people argue. I don't enjoy it. But you know what? A little bit like the whole situation of St. Patrick, where you live in a violent kind of angry culture that's, you know, commerce is based on slave trade, piracy, and pillaging. And then you offer an alternative. People say, hey, this is wonderful. You know, we can do the same thing. When normal communication is argument culture kind of stuff, if we begin to act in a different way, I think people will really be drawn to that. You know, you might imagine sitting down with a person who's an activist from the opposite, you know, side of the spectrum from what you are. And instead of, you know, getting in a fight, just say, hey, you know what? I bet you're a thoughtful person and spent a lot of time thinking about this. Why don't you tell me three things that you wish I understood as an evangelical about your community? And just stop and let them talk and listen to them. And then don't let them quit until you can play back what they've said in the way they nod their head and said, that's right, you really understand me. And the odds are pretty good that if you do that, they'll turn around and say, well, are there any things that you wish as an evangelical that my community might understand better about you? And then you have an opportunity to share some of that. And it's so refreshing to have these kinds of conversations in a way that isn't the argument culture. It isn't a battle. It doesn't leave you feeling kind of dirty, like you need to take a shower after the conversation.
Yes.
But it leaves you smiling. And yeah, it leaves you thinking, huh, okay, here's a person who I thought would be a certain way, and they were really different. And I think we can be people who begin that process. And part of it is by, you know, asking questions that way. Another thing that I talk about a lot is what I call a hermeneutic of love or a hermeneutic of charity, that you read another person or listen to another person with a sense of, let me do the love thing. Let me believe the best about this person. Let me read or hear what they're saying in the most favorable light. And then especially if you're talking to them or talking to others about them, to convey that and say, well, I know there may be some things that are said in here that are, you know, vitriolic or anger, but, you know, they do make a good point. And you try and just portray the other side in a way that makes them feel like, wow, this is a person who actually might care, might love. We model for them the idea of charity, not only to our friends, but to our enemy, to our opposition, to those who are on the other side. And I think that's a very powerful tool. And it only works if we're willing to step out and do it.
If we're willing to step out and do it. Yeah.
There's no impact.
Got you. Winsome Persuasion. Where can people find the book?
You know, one of the easiest places to get it, of course, is on Amazon. It's available there. You could also go to the InterVarsity IVP.com website and order it there. We'd love to have you pick up a copy of the book and read it and share it with a friend. It's one of those books that I think fosters a certain amount of conversation, and we'd love to have you open its covers and take a look and join us in this, looking at this very important issue.
Ladies and gentlemen, it really serves as an awesome guide, a how-to, and it deals with where we are within our hearts and our minds. And so it really addresses the whole man. Thank you again, Dr. Langer, for sharing such a wealth with us. And thank you for taking on this mission.
Hey, thank you very much, Carl. It's a privilege to be with you and your listeners. And hope God blesses you and your ministry there.
Thank you so much. Everyone, till next time.
You're listening to WTHB, 1550 AM Augusta, a Perry Broadcasting Station.